Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black on Black Crime with your hosts Jerome and Finesse. You know, we're going to be bantering across today. So if this is your first time hearing about this segment, welcome. If you're on S3 Radio, on Ask Kathleen's Network, on MySo Radio, just want to welcome everyone aboard to check out our show. Now, let me start off by saying what Black on Black Crime is for those who may be a little confused. Black on Black Crime is when black people, this is just, you know, a general explanation, is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider about white people or anybody else. So I want to bring on board co-host Finesse. What's up, Finesse? Oh, think I might have lost them. Finesse, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Oh, okay. So, you know, you didn't hear the intro because I think I mistakenly thought your mic was on. Didn't I tell you it was?
Yeah, you told me it was on.
Okay. So,
I'm sorry,
you know,
that's another black on black crime stuff.
I had to start that early, didn't I?
Yep. I see how it is, trying to keep the black man down.
Trying to keep the other black man down. So, you know, I just went and kind of explained on what black on black crime was. In this show, we are, you know, discussing Lolo Jones and the Olympics. And, you know, our first segment is about the track hate. So, you know, we're gonna get that done. Now, but first, before we start the show, I want to know, did you find out about Sandra Smoke's passing?
I did hear about Sandra Smoke's passing. And she is somebody that schooled me when I was an intern at the Syracuse newspapers. She's the one that really was one of the ones that actually said to me, always keep it real, always be honest and true to yourself. And I was, you know, really hurt to find out that she had passed. But she is a great person, really great person. I was surprised that she was young.
Yeah.
Passed away.
Yeah. Sandra, who syndicated national columnist, she had a very popular, I think when the Rodney King stuff happened, when she published her column, it got picked up by, I don't know, about 60 papers or 50 papers across the country. She not only was a columnist and an editor, and she wrote plays. She did Motown Review. She won a Cable Ace Award. Sandra Smokes, and who was very young, was hard-hitting as a journalist, and she didn't pull any punches. So, you know, I spoke to her probably a couple weeks ago, and I can tell you when she is happy to see you, it shows on her face, and she just lights up. So I wanted to kind of just start the show off by acknowledging the passing of Sandra Smokes, because I have nothing but respect for her and all the work she's done and the impression that she's left on me as well. So even as a journalist, we all kind of definitely have to feel a loss of someone like that for the community.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I mean, it's rough. It's one of your own. And she always, you know, she always kept it real, you know, and she was just true, you know. And you know, there's a lot of women that be in media, and, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they sell themselves out. They don't remain true. She was
right.
One sister that really did. She remained true to herself and true to sisters everywhere.
Yeah, and she always kept on top of what was going on, because she asked questions at her service this weekend. You know, time and time again, people would, get up and talk about the fact that they would talk to her, and she was saying, where are you going? Like, you know, why are you rushing off? Because she just wanted to engage, and it made her
yeah.
such a good writer to see from different perspectives that, you know, we can't, you know, everybody's going to miss her. I didn't have words to say for the at least the first couple of days, and I really don't have any now, but I do want to kind of acknowledge Sandra and her passing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she truly will be missed. Hearts and prayers go out to her and the family.
Yep, and no doubt. And like I said, everyone's gonna miss her. Now we're gonna take a quick 60-second break, and we're gonna come back, and we're gonna dive into the show. And like I said, for those who are not familiar with Black on Black, if you're listening on MySoul Radio, you're downloading on iTunes, SB Radio, on Ask Kathleen's Network. Yep, we're simulcasting across the board for Black on Black Crime. And remember, if you decide to call in, if you decide to join us, our call-in number today is 9189. That's 909-265-9189. And if you decide to call in and, you know, you need to remember, we do straight talk here, but we don't play the vulgar, obscenity, irrelevant stuff, so you will get booted, and you'll get booted out the chat. So, you know, Vanessa, would you like to add anything on that? Because I was just about to just go off on that. But
yeah, you know, try to keep it borderline, but leave it
you said borderline. I was like, no, don't cross no lines, because, you know, the person who's going to boot you out will be me. So borderline, either way. So we'll be right back. We're going to run a quick PSA just to keep everybody in line. Do our civic duty today. We're going to do a quick PSA, but we'll be right back after this.
You know that the ice cream scoop has the power to make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the golf tee brings friends together, that the mailbox keeps them connected. You know that the cataract laser helps you look to the future, while the pacemaker ensures that there's a future to be seen. You know that the lawnmower, the clothes dryer, and the elevator make life easier. That the blood bank makes life possible. You know that these things we count on every day started as ideas. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support minority education today so we don't miss out on the next big idea tomorrow. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Please visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. Black on Black Crime, hey, you know what? We're just going to jump into it. Vanessa, are you ready to jump into it?
I'm ready to jump into it.
Oh, okay, so I guess I'll start it off like this. We'll start it off with the first, with our story. Lolo Jones, and for those who don't know Lori Jones or Lolo Jones, she was...
her last name is Dems, before I put that
in. Oh, okay. Lolo Jones / Dems. And she's not... Don't ask her about it. It's a total surprise to her, but her name will be changed in a minute. Now, she's the one who... One of the world's clean-cut, you know, track stars, announcing on Twitter that she has strong religious beliefs, kept her virginity intact. She's an Olympic hurdler in the midst of a really nasty fight with the other Team USA peer track people, Dawn Hopper and Kelly Wells, who came in first or second and third, silver and bronze. They verbally attacked Miss Jones, in fact, and there was a New York Times story that actually named her in an article, and they were pretty nasty. Now, the story goes from the New York Times stories that, it kind of just said that she was overrated and compared her to, what's her name? I forgot her name already. I was going to say Martina, but compared her to... the tennis player. I can't believe I just forgot her name.
Anna Kournikova.
And so that's where it kind of started for her. So in the Olympics, Lolo Jones comes in fourth. She is being interviewed. She's upset that her team is kind of fighting with her and that the news is down on her. And she says, you know, that they should be supporting our Olympic athletes. They just ripped me to shreds, and she's talking about the New York Times. She said, I thought that it was crazy because I worked 6 days a week for 4 years for a 12-second race. In fact, they just tore me apart. It was heartbreaking. She added, I think it's a shame that I have to deal with so much backlash. Now, she's a star from Louisiana. She went to LSU, and she said that she was thinking twice about discussing her, you know, her virginity and all that stuff so openly. It obviously attracted further headlines. So she said, you know, I don't have a hard time finding dates or anything like that, but dating, she wants to date somebody with good morals and is willing to wait, is all she said. So with all this, with all of her media scrutiny, Lolo Jones is she's biracial. She's French Creole and a bunch of other races, and she has a light complexion. She's a media darling, and that is pretty much how I want to sum up Lolo Jones. But like she said, she has the American. She was the indoor champion. She has the American indoor record, and she earned her right to be at the Olympics. So why is everyone hating Finesse?
Well, you know, I've had this discussion with a few other people, and a lot of people are upset because they feel like it's Lolo Jones' fault. It's not Lolo Jones' fault. It's the media. And ever since this Tim Tebow thing where everybody all of a sudden talking this Christianity stuff, now the social media and the real media have crossed lines, and they've got that thing called trending. So now it's trending to find something that has to deal along the same lines as Tim Tebow as Christian, and you know, he's not having sex, he's not doing all this other stuff. Well, we didn't have that on the female side. So then
right.
You have Lolo Jones. And before Lolo, there was Jeremy Lin. So you have,
right.
So now you have a white man that's saying he's Christian, he's not doing that to be an example. You have an Asian American who says he's doing this, he's not doing that. And so now, you know, which some people think she's white, but she's really mixed, biracial, which I hate that word. But
uh-huh.
She comes along and she's a beautiful woman, and she's getting all this attention. Now her story, you know, goes back a little further when she was at the last Olympics, she fell, all this other stuff. So that part of the story was good. But as soon as they found out that she was a virgin, that took the whole story to another level. So that took the place, and then you look at all the pictures that she's done, Sports Illustrated and all that other stuff. You add that into the mix, and because she's light-skinned or near white, and then you look at dark-skinned sisters, dark-skinned individuals are always looked down upon. So they weren't going to get any play once this story came out. So I see both sides. I see Lolo's side, because Lolo didn't want to bring the attention to herself. You know, she couldn't handle the pressure like 10 people were getting that pressure every day, daily in the news. You know, Jeremy Lin the same way. So she just, you know, that's too much pressure. She's trying to represent. She's trying to do a thing. Not that she's not a great athlete. She has set some world records. She has won some events. You know, she wasn't going to win anyway. You know, in all honesty, she wasn't going to beat them girls. Going hands down, she wasn't going to beat them. But they were her teammates. So she lost to her teammates, and that's, you know, I mean, even though it's a loss, it's still a win, because at least you didn't lose to somebody else. You lost to your teammate.
Right.
So, you know, everything is blown out of proportion. Now, did her teammates react a certain way? I understand for them, because they worked hard for 4 years. This is their one moment in the sun, and then reporters asking them questions. It's the same. And had this been a team sport where it was every day like football, you could kind of make fun of it. You could kind of get away from it. But this is only a 4 year. Every 4 years, this may be your last time. So they have to stick with this interview. It's not Bart Scott of the New York Jets who could just walk away from an interview and come back the following week. These young ladies couldn't—they deserve their time in the sun. They couldn't walk away from these interviews because they needed you know, they needed their time. So I can't blame them. It's just a messed up situation how it happened.
Okay. Okay, now I can blame them because they were way too happy about their issues with her. Even in their interviews, if they wanted to keep it classy, they, and I'm not telling them that they had to keep it classy. All I'm saying is that there is no reason that you don't look past your stature, especially when you're representing the country and you know that everybody has eyes on you. So you would take the Olympic basketball team, for example. They would have loved, media-wise, would have loved for LeBron to really not like Durant or Kobe or something. Like, that would have been, that would have been a great story. But those guys, not only are they professional, they're mature enough to know, listen, I've been scrutinized. I'm under the spotlight. And the people who don't normally get spotlight, when they get it, they show out. And I think that they had, you know, I mean, I can understand raw emotion, but I think they were kind of showing out, showing their hate from her, which was not her fault. I think that's why she was more emotional on what was going on, is because she didn't even see that coming from her peers. She earned her right, right to be there, and her peers was shunning her because they felt like she got too much light than they did.
Well, you know, and I agree with that. I see that side too. And if this is a point where it's just wrong all the way around. Because you're right. I understand what you're saying. They should have been more professional about it. But at the same time, I understand why the way they acted out. It's just messed up. And here's the thing. Black media is the one that started this first.
I know. I'm going to agree with you there.
From the aspect of why is this light-skinned chick getting all these props and our dark-skinned sister's not. That started this over the last year. White media, on the other hand, took the whole thing with the Christianity and her being a virgin. I mean, I had a chance to look at her site and some of the things that were being said to her as far as from guys. Oh, I can make you run faster if you give it up, and all, you know, just crazy stuff.
God.
So this is a sex driven market we live in. For instance, I saw the M&M commercial where they, you know, they got the chocolate covered female M&M, and she got the black, you know, brown
right.
chocolate. And then, you know, people think that's nude, and she's dating this Latino guy. And it's all sex. So sex
right.
sells. So what they did with Lolo, and I can't get mad at Lolo. Anybody else in a position, you know, to say, hey, you know what, I might do this. You know, I'm going to get some money. She got some endorsements. She did get some endorsements. She was in a spotlight.
Right.
In a McDonald's commercial. All of that. What person wouldn't do that if they come to you? Because that's what you use the Olympics for, not only to, you know, win gold, go out and compete, represent your country, as people say, but it's also to make a living for. There's no difference in what Lolo Jones was doing with Michael Phelps. It all was part of their marketing and part of their brand. And that's what she did, and I can't blame her for that. I blame the media for blowing this out of proportion. And her they were her teammates, but still you compete against each other. So it's still individual sports. So, you know, it reminded me of high school. You know how you had the Valley girls, and
right.
you had the other girls, and they all didn't like each other?
Right.
It was the same. That's what it was like. That part of it was very high school and very juvenile. But at the same time, you just won gold medal, you get up here, think you're going to get your props, and they ask you about Lolo Jones.
Well, okay. Now, here's where I'm going to have to disagree because, okay, the media, and I would not say this even in doing the introduction because I skipped through a lot of what I had written for me because it was taken from a story, but they described it as a catfight, which I thought was kind of wrong too, right? So it's making them look like they were just being petty women, being catty. But what I guess even in the nature of this segment, we're saying that is – that hate coming from you hating yourself? Like, is it something that you're criticizing somebody just because they look like you, or would you have criticized them if it was somebody else? Nobody's criticizing Michael Phelps. He got all of his trophies. Nobody criticizes even the people who didn't win. Tyson Gay came in fourth as well in 100. And I'm sure he feels bad. And if somebody mentioned Tyson Gay, I'm not sure that Usain Bolt would say something negative about him. But you're in the United States. Whatever. Like, if you have the media, you're on billboards, you're doing Red Bull advertisement and all of that, of course they're going to ask about those people. And for them not to be teammates and say, hey, we feel for her, she can't, you know, we know what happened last time. I'm not saying that you have to be nice, but I am saying that, again, this is black-on-black crime, so I'm saying, is it your right to beat down somebody black just because you feel like you on top? That is where my angle on this is, where I'm coming from.
Well, and here's what I'll say to that. This is the same thing as black folks letting the media manipulate them. And I hate to say this because I got my interview coming up with Spike Lee, and I hope he's not listening. But it brings to mind the Tyler Perry, the Spike Lee issue. They were asked in the media what they felt, you know, Spike Lee has asked what he felt about Tyler Perry. Spike Lee went off.
Right.
We have to learn to control our mouths sometimes before we say things, especially when we know the media is trying to manipulate. It's the same thing with these girls, because you could feel that. Because I would be upset. I would be like, is this woman asking me about somebody else and I just want to go? She ain't asking me about my story. You could feel that, but there's a time and a place for everything. Never let the media manipulate you, because that's exactly what it was. It was a manipulation, and they knew these girls were going to act like that. You can tell who's going to act like what, because they go to people to try to get their excitement, try to get their emotion. Why do you think people have loved Charles Barkley? Why do you think TNT keep Charles Barkley? It would be a boring behind NBA show if you didn't have Charles Barkley on there.
Right. Right. When Charles Barkley's there, he says something that's off color that everybody just, not that they cringe at, but things that they won't say. And so it's like, okay, we get a little bit more ratings, and that's why they keep their mics hot. One of the things about TNT is when they go to commercial, you know, they normally take your mics down. They leave theirs on just so that they can hear what they're saying as they're going out to commercial.
We all know the infamous dummy Jesse Jackson, don't we? And Julian Bond, don't we?
All right, now that's another black-on-black crime. We're not going to start that right now.
It's not. You know why it's not a black-on-black crime? Because
what?
It happened and them dummies got caught up. That's why. Yeah. And that's the point of understanding the media. Jesse Jackson and Julian Bond know they keep those mics hot.
Right.
They know that. This ain't their first rodeo in the studio.
So
they kept the mics on, and then they got busted out. This is what I mean about keeping your mouth shut.
Right. And you know what? Here's the thing. Even though you know that happens, and we have Isaac K.A. in the chat room saying black-on-black crime is in the U.K. too. Oh, we would get to that because, you know, we know how how that goes in the U.K. doesn't really go reported. I know how conservative and racist the Daily Mail and all those other outlets can be, but you know what? We are exporting that stuff from the U.S. as well, where, you know, they only certain people are let inside, in a old slave term, let inside the kitchen, and let inside the house, and the people who are outside the house, they lock it down. So black-on-black crime comes from that as well, that you get to be the favorite long as you shun everyone else. So I think...
Yeah.
Even with Finesse saying, with Jesse Jackson, I think he couldn't stand the fact that Barack Obama was coming up. I think that was his issue because he was hanging out with the Clintons. That truly was a black-on-black crime.
Black-on-black crime. Your man Tavis Smiley.
Yep, Cornel West. Oh, so I just want to remind you, you listen to Black-on-Black Crime. We are going in a bit much right now on everybody because we normally do it on different shows for black-on-black crime. So I'm sure we'll be covering those topics a little later. I just want to remind you on what the theme of this show is. Black-on-black crime is when people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they wouldn't consider criticizing, analyzing, or critiquing white folks or anyone else on. So this is why we do the show, is to talk about why we focus on hating ourselves, just not not to let somebody else get ahead. So that's what black on black crime is. I'm Jerome, and with Finesse. Finesse, you know, we didn't give out any information, but I guess we'll do that later if you come on. And I guess we'll start doing the show on Mondays at 2. So we just wanted to start it out today to give you a taste on what black-on-black crime is. And we're going to move to some other things because we're not going to do the whole Olympics thing because we know we can go through that Gabby Douglas stuff and people talking about her hair stuff, but we ain't doing that today. But
well, here's one. I just want to throw this one out there, and this is courtesy of Derek Brown, host of the Derek Brown Sports Show, the show that I'm producing coming up in September.
Okay.
He told me something I didn't even know. That the HBCU was represented in the Olympics. Now, for any of us, that includes myself and the black media, for us not to cover this, for us not to blow that up, that
right.
is a black-on-black crime.
You know what? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break because people are squeamish about historical black colleges, right? I don't know why they're squeamish about it. I don't know why no one likes to talk about it, but we can talk about the sifting of information from NBC to everybody else when it comes to dealing with black people on black people grounds and terms. So we'll definitely get to that. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. You're listening to Black on Black, the Black on Black Crime Show with Finesse and Jerome. We are going to lock it down. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Remember, our call-in number is 909-265-9189. You can check us out. We're on Ask Kathleen. We're on Esprit Radio. You can check us out on MISO Radio. Hey, we're going to cross platforms on this one. So we'll be back right after this.
My collection is made of all the things that make me. You can tell my block got bigger, but I always remember where I started. And it feels great to move forward without leaving yourself behind. From uptown to downtown, it's all part of my style. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, thanks to where I've been. My style tells my story.
Introducing the Jennifer Lopez Collection, only at Kohl's.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce house sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad?
It's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-priced appetizers late night.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime with your host, co-host, Jerome and Finesse. We just want to talk about the topics of the day. We started off our program talking about Lolo Jones and what was going on with the U.S. track team. You know, we have some other topics. Remember, you can call in, area code 909-265-9189 is our call-in number today. you know, there's a lot of things. You can hit us up in chat. You know, just want to say, just kind of shout out everybody who's listening. You can catch us out on iTunes, on the download, soulofsyracuse.com. Vanessa's a columnist there. Vanessa, come on in if you want to. You can interrupt me on that.
Yeah,
well,
you know, I'm just a slave. I do some of everything.
I didn't want to do that because I said if we do that, we'll be all day with just kind of touching on everything, right? And
yeah.
I'm
producing right now. You know, we got the My Soul Radio thing. That's going well. We're planning next year, 2013, for the music conference down in Baltimore, Maryland. Trying to get my thoughts together. Producing several good shows. We got the Kevin T. Robinson Show, Conversation with Mingo, the Derek Brown Sports Show. You know, we're doing a couple concerts. We've got the NBA All-Star event for next year as well. Just got the confirmation on that. We'll be booking a tour for that for folks who want to go catch the NBA All-Star game. So we got a lot of things. Oh, and plus, I can't forget this. You know, working with Music Live 365 and Sony.
Okay.
Is that covered?
You know what? And so, matter of fact, tell us about the other shows. Rolling Grimes Show. Still rolling out there. Give him a shout.
I am no longer with the Rolling Grimes Show. We'll leave it at that.
Okay, so, but there's other projects. You can check out Ask Kathleen on this network on Sundays. I co-hosted with her. I mean, I guest hosted with her co-host Ronnie. We had a ball. Kathleen didn't kick us out of there, so I guess we're good. And Kathleen, welcome back. If you're back, she was on vacation, so hopefully come back soon. And we'll try not to tear up on your network as well. So we won't get banned off of Kathleen.
Tell Kathleen she needs to bring back some goodies.
Bring back some goodies? Oh,
yeah.
You know what? We're looking for some goodies, Kathleen. So, Kathleen, when you hear this, we expect to have a text. We'll send you, you know, mailing addresses where you can send our goodies, our goodie bag, and all of that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Callie, bring back some of that California wine.
Don't bring no California sunshine because it's hot around this place.
I would say bring back some California something else, but that's not this show.
Okay, and speaking of Lolo Jones, I was going to say your other girl is on the East Coast, so we won't really go. We won't go there today. So our topic today is the hate on track star, and she's still a track star, although she didn't get a medal in this year's Olympics. Lolo Jones, the hate from her teammates, the black-on-black crime of hating and oppressing your own folks. Even though you won, you still wanted to kick someone else because you won, which is crazy. Now, in the New York Times story, New York Times public editor, I guess his name, Arthur Brisbane, released an apology for, it's Jerry Longman's article about U.S. hurdler Lolo Jones in this past Sunday's paper. He said, I think the writer was particularly harsh, even unnecessarily so. Now, if that's an apology, don't really sound like one, but I think he just doesn't like the negative responses, but it's his job as editor to make sure that he didn't cross the line. Which I'm not going to read some of the internet comments, Vanessa, because they were harsh on that guy, saying, like, it's probably some fat guy sitting behind a desk critiquing some girl who could run. You know, they were pretty harsh on him, so I didn't want to go through the internet comments. But New York Times
There are certain things that I've come to. One thing I hate about the new media, that it includes folks who more critics and reviewers, and also blogs. I think in order to have a blog, I think you should have to have at least 1 year of journalism to understand proper reporting and writing, because I see it across the board. People don't even do stories anymore. You think they're going to tell you the story, and they just tell you something that they've heard. Even CNN, you know, you may find three sentences. I'm like, yo, is that it? You know, I'm trying not to do a black-on-black crime, but my man Dr. Boyce, who I love and respect, but I cannot read his blogs anymore because it's every once in a while is some good stuff, but for the most part, it's opinionated from one side. There's all kind of misinformation, and so you get people in their personal thoughts. And this is what's happening now with these bloggers, with these reviewers, and there are credible newspapers who hire these people because they're more concerned about getting people to like or look at, so they can go to their advertisers and say, hey, we've got this many number of people that are looking at. And that's not the truth. It's the same thing, and as for you, and I've talked this about before, people who put up these stupid Facebook pages and they say, hey, like my page, when 90% of us don't even read it. If it's a friend of mine, yeah, I'll hit like and keep it moving. You know, it's all this move now to get numbers. You know, you have people selling, I could get your YouTube hits up to 10,000.
Right.
Well, nothing is authentic. And I can tell you from working with the music label, they know this stuff. They can tell what's real, and they can tell what's not. So, you know, people that's trying to, you know, editors know somebody's trying to get a story. You know, music labels know somebody's trying to get a record deal. Movie companies and television companies know if somebody's web series is getting true numbers and it reflects it, because you can go back and look at certain things to tell if it's authentic.
Right. You know, and it would be a black-on-black crime for me to jump on Boyce at the moment, but, you know, Boyce, you know, and I've seen some of his stuff. I don't read any of his stuff. And one of the Clear Channel stations that I was on this past weekend, and I normally go on their station, he came on, and he was talking about something, but he was just kind of making it fiery just to do it. And I think that anytime you're being used by the media to be the black guy is always problematic. Tavis, Cornel West, some people love that role, Jesse Jackson, like those. Some people like the role, and I'm not going to make that a black-on-black crime. I'm not hating on them. I wish them success in doing it, but we have to be smarter. And that's fine if that's a job to someone.
And I think if you are a minority, women, black, Latino, I think that you have to be loyal to your culture and be true. Somebody has to stand up. I mean, it's all about balance, because you know, yeah, you have the TMZs and those people that like that kind of stuff. You're not going to change that. But then we need to have somebody like an Ed Gordon come on and going to report the news the way we need to get the news and receive the news. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have, and I watch this all the time, you have the African channel.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great channel. A lot of folks may not watch it, but there's a side of Africa that people don't even know about. You can go look at the African channel. You have the Russian channel, you have the Asian channel. And the reason why these folks have their channel, because they want you to see what's really them. Now, is it manipulated? All media is manipulated at some point. They only want you to know so much. But at least educate yourself and see something. And folks that are like us, that's in the media, that's independent, you have a show on Blog Talk, you have your own show on an AM or an FM station, you have to be true to who you are and true to your culture and to your people.
Right, and you know, and for that, we are being true in our on Black on Black Crime show. So, again, Black on Black Crime, we are just doing a point counterpoint of the people who hate on themselves for no apparent benefit or to benefit themselves personally. Like, you can hate on somebody who looks like you if it's going to help someone else. Like, for example, I'm by profession a political strategist, right? And so this one guy from the Green Party comes over and talks to me because I was I was doing a Republican race at that particular time. And he said, you know, I'm the voice of the black community. And I said to him, you're not that smart, right? You can't go claim that you own or run black folks when we have smart black folks. So that's why we kind of have to take over the images of ourselves, because someone else who's going to interpret it for us to tell us what they think that it is. And that's always problematic in the big picture.
Yeah, very true, very true.
Yeah. So, you know, I just want to – oh, we're going back to the Olympics. Again, we're talking about track stars and that whole infighting that they had about hating on one of their fellow countrymen and teammates – during the track meet because they got let's face it, Finesse, pretty people do get a lot of stuff in this world, right? So you have to do marketing.
Question.
No, seriously. You have to do marketing.
I'm serious, too.
You're not going to have.
They get a lot.
Look at it this way. You're not going to hire an ugly receptionist, especially if her personality's ugly, which, again.
It sounds like that word. Let's just say unattractive.
Okay, well, no.
But
let me tell you why I use ugly, right? So in my quantum way, in my quantum physics, quantum mechanics way, I believe that you're ugly internally first. So if your personality is ugly, like if it makes you ugly, it's going to show on your face. So usually pleasant people are just pleasant. Even if they're not attractive to you, they are pleasant and you can get along with them. If you're going to be unattractive and ugly, you can't get mad at somebody else saying, how come they have something that I don't? And I think that even in the people who were hating on Lolo Jones, I found them to be ugly. That was not attractive to me that in a German way, they're the only language that has this word, so I'm going to use it. It's called Schadenfreude, and it means joy in the misery of others. If you are happy because somebody else is miserable, that is ugly. That's where that was coming from.
Well, you know, we live in a society where you have to look good. You know, if you don't look good, then you can't achieve. And people are knocking, you know, even when people choose their prospective mate. And I hear people say this all the time. You know, oh, they're just my best friend, but that's not my kind of person. Well, your mate's supposed to be your best friend, but you're so concerned with somebody looking good that you take the next jackass available. So you get what you put in. And if everyone could just close their eyes or be blind,
right?
You would have people that would genuinely see what a person's heart is, because that's where it's supposed to be at. But when you're in this business and media, they want to make money. Look, CBS and CBS learned the hard way. It was 6 months ago before they put Charles and what's Oprah Winfrey's girlfriend's name on the show. They got.
Yes.
I'm not seeing what your mind is.
I'm sorry.
Saying it like that.
We're gonna have to. You know what? I'm jotting these down because that's a black on black crime. You can't hate on Gail. I don't really want to go there.
And Gail is good. But before CBS, this is what CBS did. CBS got rid of the other reporters. They said they're not doing it for us. We got to get somebody else. So they went in and got that whole good looking crew. They suck as reporters because people didn't believe it. They didn't. Those people, they're just modeling. They didn't know crap about news. So then they revamped. I'm not saying that Gail is ugly because she ain't.
Right.
And what's his name? He does what for whoever. But they brought in quality news people. And CBS learned it's not about the looks. It's about the quality. It's about the delivery. It's about them being believable. Because I tried watching the other one with all them models, and I'm like, they're so fake. I can see if they skirt. It's the same thing with Fox.
Right.
Fox got some of the very attractive women on their set, but they make themselves so unattractive by the stuff that comes out.
And they're not smart. Like, Fox News is not news, so let's get that straight. Let me put that out there. They're not news. And a Pew study came out and another independent study that said that people who watch Fox News by percentage know less, have less of facts on any given number of topics, you know, whether it's the economy, whether it's about presidential politics. They know less if you watch Fox News. So Fox News, they're giving you an impression. They're not giving you facts. They're not giving you any facts and news. So that was their model that they use, you know, women who wear short dresses kind of thing to get you to watch it with ideologues, and it works for them, so everybody else wants to try it. But I have more than that. When you talked about Gail at CBS, I think it's because Robin Roberts was at ABC, and now, you know, with the Today Show getting rid of Ann Curry, they're thinking about bringing Hoda from – you know, with Kathy Lee and Hoda, that morning show, bringing her on the Today Show. I mean, I think they mix and match when they have minorities. They say, hey, if you have one, let us grab one and put one on.
Well, this goes back to what we talk about, representing. Robin Roberts, one of the people in black media, I look up to. I loved her ever since the days of Sports Center. I only watch SportsCenter because of the women. I love women that know sports and can talk sports, and it's not just about the looks. They can do it all. And I love me some Robin Roberts. And when she went to ABC News, the first thing I said is, these white folks ain't ready for no real sister to be on the news.
Right.
They stuck with her, and the ratings grew. They start digging in. They start digging into the Today Show, and Robin Roberts is great. She's great, and I love Gail. I'm gonna tell you something, folks. CBS News is by far the best news in the morning to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love switch back and forth, but when they put together Gail, they put together that crew with CBS revamp. Man, that is a great show.
You know, it reminds me of, and by the way, This Is It, who was in the chat room, said, you're right about that, women who know sports, you know, when they're on. It reminds me of the sports reporters, you know, when they put, since football season is coming in, we're in preseason, and when you watch the sideline reporters, and some of them are former athletes, but some of them are just flat models in communicate, and they're putting them on there for the look. They're getting them on
right.
there. Because guys drink beer and watch football and don't care if some pretty woman is sitting there saying, so-and-so had his third sack in a row. Like, we don't really care who tells us that information. It's just
right.
kind of how we are.
And that's what the other marketed, but when ESPN did that with, she's left now. She's no longer
I can't remember
ESPN.
Her name, yeah.
She's now with Fox Sports. But when they put her on, just
uh-huh.
to hear her talk, and you knew she knew it. When I listened to Jemele Hill, when I listen to Lisa, she does the NBA game.
Lisa Saunders.
Yes, I love it. I love women that know sports. And when you get, you know, my thing is, if we know it's about a range, you want to have a good-looking one, get a good-looking one that knows sports. Don't just have them on it because they're good-looking, because it takes away from it, because I just want to mute it and tell you to shut up. So for some of us, just like the eye candy, well, some of us like the eye candy with information and knowledge.
Okay, I'm going to run a disclaimer with Finesse. But for the women who are going to be tuning us out right now, because technically I don't think we really care, but that was my political
correct. I didn't say anything wrong. It's the truth. If you're beautiful, okay, I have nothing wrong with that.
Wait,
don't try to do sports if you don't know sports.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to say about sports, because
and
it goes
for any dude. If you don't know sports, don't do it.
Wait. Here's what I want to say about that comment. Last night, I was on Ask Kathleen, 7 o'clock Sunday, BTR. I was on Ask Kathleen. It was guest hosting. And I went through the Forbes list of the top highest paid celebrity couples. You know, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Tom Brady, Gisele Bundchen, David Beckham, Victoria Beckham, and Angelina and Brad Pitt and Will and Jada Smith. And co-host Ronnie said all of those guys are nice looking. And then I said that about the women. And so it was funny because it is people watch them as celebrities, not just because they're good actors, because they're all good at what they do, but people pay to see them because they're nice looking. So I wanted to throw that out there just to say, yes, everybody adheres to it. It's nothing to hate on. Don't get mad because somebody looks nice. You know, work yourself out and make it happen. But, you know, it's just kind of how we are as a society.
And you know what? That's true, because if you look at everyone thinks Rihanna is beautiful, right? In
yeah.
the U.K., and I guess we have Isaac from the U.K. in there. She has the top, I think the last 6 months, the
yeah.
top selling fragrance that beats Jennifer Lopez, that beats Beyonce, and anybody else that's out there. Why? Because Rihanna looks good, and they want to look and smell like somebody. So I'm not mad at a celebrity who takes advantage of that. I mean, I think she sold, in 6 months, $2 million worth. That's incredible. So I'm
right.
not mad at a celebrity who does that. I'm mad at the consumer. If you're dumb enough to buy into that, because
hey,
the fragrance that you think they, Rihanna smells like is somebody who created a fragrance and said, hey, Rihanna, we're going to pay you if we can use your name to say you like, this is your fragrance.
All right. Now, I just want to remind everybody, we're not hating because this is black-on-black crime. That's not what we do. And we're going to go to the phone lines, and we have a caller from area code 678. Welcome to black-on-black crime.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Good, good, sir. What's your name?
This is it, radio.
This is it. Okay, we brought you in the chat.
Yeah.
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. I agree with what you were saying. I used to model for a living, so I know how they perceive and how they want you to look and what image that you like. But when I was modeling, I'm from Brooklyn, Brownsville. I was just doing it for the money. But I learned something. I said, you know what? If they want to pay me to look this way, I'm going to take their money. I really don't care. But as I got older, I started seeing the TV. They don't use no dark-skinned woman. You can look at the news today. I guarantee you won't find no dark-skinned woman on there. And I feel like we need to make up our own TV stations and present the images that we need to see. Now, I have daughters. Now, I do not buy any book with a Caucasian face on it. People be like, oh, man, why you do that? I said, because that's not their everyday life. You know, I'm not mad at them for people who do that. I'm just saying, let's get it together. Now, young lady came to my house. She bought my daughter a doll, and the doll was a Caucasian doll, and I gave it back to her. She said, why are you giving the doll back? I said, because that doesn't look like us. And I said, I'm tired of people bringing us stuff that doesn't look like us. I said, it's obvious looking at my house, it's all African art, right? So why would I want some art that don't display who I am? So my thing is that I feel like we need to really know who we are. And the people that they put in front of us.
Yeah, they come to our community and they tell us how we should look, how we should feel.
You know what
right.
I do when I see a woman with no hair, or she got her hair natural, I go up and tell her, you're a beautiful woman. Because I already know the images that they have on TV is not the images of the women that I see in my community. I know that. So when I see a woman, I just give her that encouragement, you know. Like, you look beautiful. Your hair look beautiful. Because I know women love their hair, you know, especially our women. So I always go and say, you know, you look beautiful today, you know. Like my daughter, she always asks me, Dad, how do I look today? I'd be like, you look beautiful all the time. But I'm trying to get her to understand it ain't about looks. She's 3 years old worrying about how she looks. I don't really care about how you look. I just care how your mindset is, really.
Thanks for checking in with us. I know we have 7 minutes, and Finesse wanted to respond to you. Go ahead and have Finesse.
Okay.
Thanks, this is it.
Thanks, this is radio. There's two things I want to address. He's absolutely right, and I'm speaking from him, and he was a model, so he was experiencing it. If you go back, because I get asked this question all the time, how come ain't no dark sisters in the movies or in the video? You go back into the 70s and 80s, and you look at TV and radio. There was plenty of dark-skinned women used in the videos. What happens is when we start selling out our culture to the other side, they come in and they say what's culturally acceptable is to have somebody light-skinned. So when they're directing our movies and our videos, they want it to look more so like them. So it's hard, and this isn't radio, no. I'm dark-skinned, I can tell you. I had a teacher that told me, you are too dark-skinned, you will never be on a news desk because it's too much trouble to light you. Right? And I've heard that on movie sets, and I heard that on video sets.
Mm-hmm.
So they begin to play somebody who's lighter, who's more appealing to somebody else. This filters down into our community. There's nothing worse to hear a black man or a black woman say, I don't like dark-skinned people. You can have your preference, but how do you want to say somebody who's black is just you're from the same hood, you get pulled over the cops just like everybody else, you're stereotyped just as they are, and you're going to say, I don't like light skin. That's a condition of the mind that you've been taught that. And that's absolutely crazy to feel and act like that you can't go – and you can't go with somebody because they're dark-skinned because your friends will say, oh, she's dark-skinned or he likes or he's dark-skinned or she's dark-skinned. That's crazy. So you have
right.
to start changing that mindset. And I agree with this is in radio too. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, we got to have toys, books that look like us. Because when our kids grow up thinking that There's no black scientist. There's no black astronaut. And all they know that's black is somebody on the basketball wives or somebody that's doing hip-hop or playing sports. That's why we have everybody trying to rush to the entertainment field because they don't. They think there's no one else like us.
You know what, and I want to add on to that, that this is why we're doing black-on-black crime, because a part of the impression that people have on black people is what we put on ourselves. So if you talk about black people in public, in front of white folks, they think it's free game to talk about us. Like, they don't know that jokes are self-hate jokes, right? And so when you look at Don Imus and what he said about the Rutgers team, Rutgers University basketball team, the women's team, and all of that stuff, they don't know. We do mama jokes out of love, you know, and white community, culturally, they do jokes like an Irishman, a black man, and the Polack said. They do racist, they do jokes on other people. We do internalized jokes, but that is nothing out of love, and those are impression jokes. And so they get it twisted when we start talking about each other and by thinking that that's free game. So you have a responsibility, like we have a responsibility to the listeners who are listening to the show. We have a responsibility to watch our mouths and to watch what we say because of the impression that we're leaving on everybody else. We don't just keep it real just to say whatever to think, whatever you think come to mind. We're responsible adults, and so we have to be responsible.
Yeah, and don't be like Jesse Jackson, Julian Bond.
All right, don't make me do a segment on you and Jesse.
The microphone on.
Right, because the microphone on, you want to say something inappropriate. Forget the self-hate. It's not even worth it. So, you know, on that note, you know, before we get out, because we're getting out at the top of the hour, but before we get out of here, you want to talk about the historical black colleges that was represented in the Olympics. And before you go there, I want to say Gabrielle Douglas, who was the first American ever to win the gold medal in team gymnastics and the individual all-around gold medal, and she's the first African-American to win them both as well. Well, I guess she's the first American. So she's the dean of Spelman, flew to the Olympics. They're recruiting Gabrielle Douglas. She's 16. She's still in high school, and they're trying to make her, you know, they're trying to make her, I don't know what Spelman's nickname is, but they're trying to entice her to go to Spelman. So they gave her a gift bag and some other things. So I want to give a shout out to the great women of Spelman for at least, you know, reaching out to Gabrielle Douglas. But you want to say, Finesse, about colleges?
I wanted to say, and I don't know, I know Winston-Salem was represented in the Olympics as far as HBCUs. I don't know what the other school or two schools were. And that's my fault because I've been covered, you know, looking at everything else and never even saw that. And that's a black-on-black crime for me. We should know that. And for every black media, we should know that it's not just about the USA basketball team. We also have to bring them to light when we have our historical black colleges that do contribute to the society. You know, we've had some great players, some great role models, some great political figures that have gone to historical black colleges and universities, and I know we're short on time, but that's something that we could talk about next week, because I know you brought it up. You know, is there a fear in discussing black colleges? I think it is because of the word black, and that's something we could talk about next week.
Well, you know what, that's right. We do have a fear of doing that. It's because of how racism and oppression works, is that we don't talk about black because we don't want you to talk about black. I think that's pretty much the gist of that. I mean, I'm not sure like the psychology behind it, but you know, we get a little, you know, I'm not saying we get sensitive to it, but we definitely do have to watch out for putting things out that we won't let other people, you know, we won't let it anybody else carry on with. But I want to thank everyone. Go ahead.
That's a whole
nother
topic, brother.
That is a whole nother topic. Now, we don't know what our next topic is going to be next week, but join back in. Thanks for this It Radio for calling in. Isaac K.A. in the chat room for all of the comments that you made. Everyone else listening and on the lines, remember, you can check us out, iTunes, download, check us out, columnist Finesse on soulofsyracuse.com. I'm Jerome, columnist on soulofsyracuse.com, Esprit Radio, My Soul Radio, and Ask Kathleen Network. We're just putting it out there, but we'll be back next week. Hey, Finesse, you can sign off. What do you want to say?
Peace, love, Finesse. See you next week.
All right, see you next week. And just remember, all content of this program is protected. It may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, or otherwise published without prior written permission. All rights are reserved, and we will see you next week. All right, peace.